जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jai Radhesham, Jai Radhesham, Radhesham, Jai Radhesham. Radhesham, Jai Radhesham, Jai Radhesham, Jai Radhesham. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Goranitai, Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai. Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada Jai Prabhupada Jila Prabhupada Jai Jai Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pirivajakacharya Astatara Tatashishya Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananda Goda Vaishnavindya Ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Premseko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivindya Ki, Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Gira Govardhan Ki, Mathura Dham Ki, Navadweep Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Ganga Mayi ki, Jamuna Mayi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Srimati Tulsi Devi ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Niloja Sri Radhasham Sundar ki, Sri Krishna Balaram ki, Sri Gaura Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Continuing in Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text Number 15. Nishevitena Nimittena Nishevitena Nimittena Nishevitena nimitena Nishevitena nimitena Shva dharmena Mahiyasa Swadharmena Mahiyasha. Swadharmena Mahiyasa. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nati Himshvena Nityashah. Niti Hishvena Nityasa. Nati Himshvena Nityasa. Nishevitena Nimitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasha. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nati Himshvena Nityasa. Nishevitena Nimitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasha. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nati Himshvena Nityasha. Nishevitena Nimitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasha. Yogena Shastena. Himshvena Nityasaha. Nishevitena Nimitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasa. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nishevitena Nityasaha. Nitena Nimitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasa. Satena. Hinsena Nityasaha. Matajis. Matajis. Nitmena. Swadharmena Mahiyasa. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nati Himshvena Nityasa. Nishevitena Nibitena. Swadharmena Mahiyasa. Kriya Yogena Shastena. Nati Himshvena Nityasa. I'm going straight to the translation. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. A devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One has to execute his prescribed duties according to his social position as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. The prescribed duties of the four classes of men in human society are also described in Bhagavad Gita. The activities of the Brahmanas are to control the senses and to become simple, clean, learned devotees. The Kshatriyas have the spirit for ruling and they are not afraid on the battlefield. And they are charitable. The Vaishyas, or the mercantile class, trade in commodities, protect the cows, and develop agricultural produce. And the Sudras, the laborer class, serve the higher classes because they themselves are not very intelligent. From every position, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Swakamena Tam Abhachya, one should serve the Supreme Lord by performing one's prescribed duties. It is not that only the Brahmanas can serve the Supreme Lord and not the Sudras. Anyone can serve the Supreme Lord by performing his prescribed duties under the direction of a spiritual master or representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should think that his prescribed duties are inferior. A Brahmana can serve the Lord by using his intelligence. The Kshatriya can serve the Supreme Lord by using his military arts, just as Arjuna served Krishna. Arjuna was a warrior, and he had no time to study Vedanta or other highly intellectual books. And the damsels of Brajadam were girls born of the Vaishya class, and they engaged in protecting cows and producing agriculture. Krishna's foster father, Nanda Maharaj, and his associates were all Vaishyas. They were not at all educated, but they could serve Krishna by loving him and by offering everything to him. Similarly, there are many instances in which Chandalas or lower than Sudras have served Krishna. Also, the sage Vidura was considered a Sudra because his mother happened to be a Sudra. There are no distinctions, for it is declared by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita that anyone engaged specifically in devotional service is elevated to the transcendental position without a doubt. Everyone's prescribed duty is glorious if it is performed in devotional service for the Lord, without desire for a profit. Such loving service must be performed without reason, without impediment, and spontaneously. Such loving service must be performed without reason, without impediment, and spontaneously. Krishna is lovable, and one has to serve him in whatever capacity he can. That is pure devotional service. So we'll get back to that Krishna is lovable part later. Another significant phrase in this verse is natihim shrena, which means with minimum violence or sacrifice of life. Even if a devotee has to commit violence, it should not be done beyond what is necessary. Sometimes the question is put before us, you ask us not to eat meat, but you are eating vegetables. Do you think this is not violence? And the answer to that, eating vegetables is violence. And vegetarians are also committing violence against other living entities because vegetables also have life. Non-devotees are killing cows, goats, and so many other animals for eating purposes, and a devotee who is a vegetarian is also killing. But here, significantly, it is stated that every living entity has to live by killing another living entity. Hare Krishna. Every living entity has to live by killing another living entity. And that is the law of nature. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is life for another living entity. But for the human being, that violence should be committed only as much as necessary. A human being is not to eat anything which is not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because one becomes free from all sinful reactions by eating foodstuffs which are offered to Krishna first. Jai Shri Radhesham, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai, all the assembled devotees, Ki Jai. A devotee therefore eats only prasadam, or foodstuffs, offered to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna says that when a devotee offers him foodstuffs from the vegetable kingdom with devotion, he eats that from the vegetable kingdom. A devotee is to offer to Krishna foodstuffs prepared from vegetables. If the Supreme Lord wanted foodstuffs prepared from animals, the devotee could offer this, but he does not order that, does not want that, fortunately. We have to commit violence. That is a natural law. We should not, however, commit violence extravagantly, but only as much as ordered by the Lord. Arjuna engaged in the art of killing. And although killing is, of course, violence, he killed the enemy simply on Krishna's order. He didn't want to, but he was given the order, and he surrendered to Krishna in that order. In the same way, if we commit violence as it is necessary, by the order of the Lord, that is called natihimsa. We cannot avoid violence, for we are put into conditional life in which we have to commit violence. Amazing, isn't it?
You have to have this karma going on. You have to kill another living entity and get some sort of reaction for it, isn't it? But we should not commit more violence than necessary or than ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, there's a lot of information here. So, these points about violence first, and then we'll go on to some other things. But everyone can see that when you live in this world, it is virtually impossible to refrain from killing something. Even while you're walking, there are ants and there are insects being crushed under your feet. You are breathing in billions and millions of bacteria, and you're killing them. You light a fire to cook, and there are living entities in the air, and they also get destroyed because you're cooking something for Krishna from the vegetable kingdom. And because of lighting that fire, living entities are consumed in that fire. So everything you do, you can't move without committing some violence. So there's also a sect of Vaishnavism, the Jains, isn't it? Who they have tried to mechanically create a situation where they won't commit any violence to any living entity by wearing a mask over their face and walking very, very carefully so they don't step on anything and so they don't breathe in bacteria, and I don't know what else they may do. But it is quite impractical to live like that because the world is not designed that way. It's designed in a way that the living entity has to commit violence against another living entity. But it should be only done as much as necessary, because one living entity is food for another living entity. The vegetable kingdom, they're all living entities. We plant the seed sprouts, the living entity grows, and he spreads his arms in different ways, and he reaches for the sun, and he produces flowers and fruits and vegetables, and then we snatch them away. Sometimes the whole plant has to go, not just like on the tomato plant, you can just grab the tomato, but on some things like carrots and cabbage and various other types of vegetables, the whole plant has to be consumed. So we have to kill them. But this killing thing in the material world, no one wants to kill anything because it just doesn't seem right, does it? It just doesn't seem right that you have to kill something. Especially if you have a higher consciousness, you start to really perceive these things and say, why do I have to, you know, this should be some of the questions that evolves into one's mind when you come to the point of understanding human life. Because if you actually are considered in the human form of life, you have to ask certain questions. And that should be one of the questions. Why do I have to kill something to live? Why is that designed that way? That the world is designed in such a way that I have to kill something to live. Have you ever been to Mayapur and you see the frog population? Have you ever been to Mayapur and seen the frogs? Like one living entity is food for another living entity? Well, you don't want to be an insect there. I'll tell you right now. An insect's life is not very stable in Mayapur or any tropical area. As if there's a light on somewhere, the bugs come and then the frogs come. And then eventually the bugs are flying around. Eventually they land on the ground and you watch them. They're just crawling along and then that big tongue comes out. Choo! Choo! And the living entity is completely alive and is being swallowed by another living entity. It's bizarre to watch. And I wouldn't want to be the bug. I wouldn't want to be the frog either, for that matter. But I wouldn't want to be the bug. But this is the condition, the life that we're in. And we examine the situation. We see, what a place is this? That one living entity just gets consumed by another living entity. And of course, we've all seen various kinds of newsreels and different videos of the animal kingdom and snakes, you know, swallowing mice whole and, you know, all sorts of grotesque things like that. And you know, the way the tiger gets his food, just slaughtering and tearing open a body. And I mean, if you look at this, you see what a place we're in. And then even in the human life, we have these societies, we divide them up into nations, and nations against nation, and another nation wants to devour and kill another nation. Isn't it? They don't necessarily want to eat us, but, you know, maybe they want to do that too. Who knows? I don't know. But they want to kill. They want to extinguish our lives. Just because we have a different skin color, just because we're born in a different place, just because we speak a different language. But we're all born ultimately from the same place, from this earth planet, using the various material ingredients, basically born in the same way, produced in the same way. So actually, in a spiritual sense, we are all brothers and sisters. There is no doubt about that. So that's why it is essential that we understand how to get free from this killing. How do we get free from the killing? It's essential that we understand this point, because it's impossible to do it by mechanical means, because it's just going to go on. So Krishna, there's Arjuna and there's Krishna. And Arjuna is refraining from this ghastly warfare that he has to engage in. Why? Because he has so many relatives and friends and teachers and people that he's known his whole life that he has to go out and kill. And Krishna said, this is already done. I've already done all of this. This is the whole plan is my plan, and this is already being carried out. You are just the instrument in it, so do not fear. You will get no reaction for these things. So in this way, from this particular point, we can extrapolate that Krishna is speaking to all of us in this way. Krishna is speaking to all of us in this way. Just engage in my pure devotional service, surrender everything to me, and you'll get no reaction. You'll be free from any reaction, whatever you do in this life. Because sometimes in this life, it can be very, very traumatic. You could be driving down the road, and you could have an accident, you could kill someone. Right? But if you're driving on your own, if you're driving to the movies for your own sense gratification, or driving to a restaurant for your own sense gratification, and you hit somebody and you kill them, that's a big problem. That's a big, big problem. Because somehow or other, that's going to come back to you. You're going to have to be killed in a similar way. It's so complicated. Material life is so incredibly complicated. But if you are driving down the road with a big stack of books, Prabhupada's books in the back seat, and you're heading out to Sankirtan to try and liberate the conditioned souls from this miserable place where one living entity is food for another living entity, then, and you hit someone by accident, somehow things happen, and you kill them, it's not a pleasant situation. But at the same time, because you're on Krishna's mission, Krishna sees that, and you are free from the reaction of that sin. And likewise, whatever other devotional service you may be performing. So we have to be very careful that we keep ourselves very, very close and very, very pure in devotional service. Because Prabhupada said there are three stages of chanting Hare Krishna, and that's what our movement is all about. We're chanting, we're the Hare Krishna chanting movement. And we are chanting Hare Krishna as our primary focus of purification. So the more purely we chant, the more free from these reactions we become. Just like Prabhupada said, there is the offensive stage, there is the almost non-offensive stage, and then there is the non-offensive stage of chanting. But in the offensive stage, the pains and miseries are still there. Some of these reactions are still there. So we have to be very careful and try to improve our chanting. It's so much essential that we become to the higher stages and really feel this relief from these karmic reactions and these things that are going on. So always remain firmly fixed in Prabhupada's service and Krishna's service, and we will feel the freedom from these things. If we are lackadaisical, then we don't know. There's everything. It's a very, very complex system, this whole living in this material world and engaging in various kinds of activities and getting the reactions for them. So when we chant, we should chant and we should keep ourselves very close to Krishna, very close to each other, and very close into loving relationships. Which kind of brings us to another point. The whole concept of loving relationship is an extraordinarily important point, because there is, everyone in this room has experienced love, isn't it? We've all experienced a loving relationship in some form or another in this room. We love our moms, we love our dads, we love our brothers, we love our sisters, we love our friends. So as spiritual associates, we can also exchange in very nice loving relationships. And this is essential also to learn how to love Krishna. And by loving Krishna, automatically these relationships become very nice and very perfect. So serving Krishna together is a very wonderful experience. But to get back to this point about the living entity who needs to love someone, isn't he? Every living entity needs to love someone. This is an amazing thing. Why is that? You have to ask yourself, why is this emotional urge to love someone there? Why is that? Why can't we just be like kind of like robotics in this material world and go about our business and not have to get involved in all these emotional experiences, right? But we find that every living entity has this urge to love in the heart. That's another thing we should examine. And this is another thing that we should be very thoughtful about. Why do we need to love someone? We are not islands. We are not rocks. We are not able to exist without loving relationships. That's quite amazing when you think that way. So where is this all coming from then? Why do we have these urges? Why do we have these feelings? Why do we have this need to love someone? Well, from this point we can extrapolate that somehow or other the creation is designed this way, that we all have this propensity to love. Srila Prabhupada was remarking one time, there was a kitten who was coming up against his leg, and Prabhupada was rubbing the kitten. And the kitten was enjoying this relationship. And Prabhupada said, just see, even this kitten needs love. Animals need love. Cows need love. You see, when you treat a cow very nicely, they lick you, they want to reciprocate with you, you rub their neck, and they just want to come back for more. Isn't it? They're treated nicely. Even you watch the monkeys, and sometimes the monkeys and their babies are just so affectionate. There's so much affection going on between the mother and the baby. The mother rubs her head and holds him real tight. You know, it's amazing. Every living entity has to love. We are not rocks. We are souls. So why is it that we have to love? That's the next question. Because Krishna created us for that purpose. Krishna has created us for that purpose, and that purpose only. We are little particles of love, little particles of feeling. Prabhupada said, what do we have to offer Krishna? What do we own? What do we have? We don't have anything, Prabhupada says. We are simply feeling. And when Prabhupada said that, it was like all these light bulbs go on, because we really don't have anything. Even this body, we don't even know how it was created. We don't know how many hairs we have. We don't know how it's digesting food. We don't know anything about it. And the scientists, they study it, and they study so much crap. But just a little side point, I read something the other day. It was so amazing. It was so deep in the mode of ignorance that these scientists are doing. They're competing. There's two groups of scientists, one in this country, one in another country, and they're competing to find what they call the God particle, the God particle. Some invisible particle which they call the God particle. Now, in order to do this, and they're not really sure it really exists, but they think it exists through all their calculations and so on. Just deep in ignorance. It's unbelievable. They spend billions and billions of dollars on these extraordinary machines to be able to crash these atoms together and find this God particle. It's truly remarkable, and that they're even allowed to do such a thing. to spend so much money, useless waste of time and money on such a thing. When all you have to do is think just a little bit, I have intelligence. Therefore, God must have intelligence. I can't have anything that God doesn't have, so therefore, because He has everything, He's much more than I am, so He's at least what I am. I mean, this is just logic, right? He's at least what I am and much, much more. So, let me see. He must be really intelligent. And He must be really beautiful, too, because I'm beautiful. Well, you know. I used to be beautiful. At least I thought I was beautiful. And other people, also, we all think we have a certain amount of beauty. So Krishna possesses all of these opulence in complete fullness. So that can even be dissected by logic. That if you're a little clear-headed, you can understand that if I have intelligence, well, my goodness, how much intelligence does Krishna have to create this incredible environment that I'm living in with all these things going on almost like magically or automatically? No, but the scientists, they have to find the God particle. And so they're competing. And the prize for this, and the prize that they're competing for is like to be the first one to find the God particle, number one. That's the first prize. And then they get the recognition with the plaque and everything. It's just so insane. So completely submersed in the mode of ignorance. And yet, these are the people that people look toward for guidance. These are the people that are people look towards for guidance. The doctors, they're going to cure this, they're going to cure that. They're going to find this, they're going to find that. They're going to find the key to immortality someday. And yet, no matter how hard they try, the death rate is still 100%, isn't it? 100%. Death is occurring at every moment for every single soul, every single person, every single animal, every single tree, insect, etc., etc., etc. So now that we've established we need to love someone, we can go back to this other statement that Prabhupada said, that Krishna is lovable. Krishna is lovable. We are also lovable. So we have to somehow get back to the supreme lovable, and then we'll be actually happy. And that's the purpose of our lives. That's the purpose of human life. That is the purpose of our practicing devotional service, to get back with the supreme lovable. We want to love Him, Krishna. Very, very lovable. I can describe a few instances where Krishna has displayed this extreme lovable nature. And also, there's this nice story about the fruit lady. Everyone know the story about the fruit lady? And she travels, she traverses Vrindavan, and she carries the fruits on her head, and she's moving through the town, and she's calling out, "Beautiful sweet fruits for sale. Beautiful sweet fruits for sale. Does anyone please buy my fruit?" And she's not getting any customers. Everyone says, "No, not today. No, not today." So somehow she wanders into the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And she's going, "My Lord, what do you want to do? You want to starve me? You want to starve me?" She just plops down on the ground in the courtyard. She calls out in the courtyard, "Is there anybody home? Does anybody want fruits, vegetables, fruits?" Nobody responds. So she just plops down and she says, "What do you want to do? You want to kill me? I can't eat without selling my fruit." And all of a sudden, doop, 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 this little 3-year-old boy comes out and inquires from her, "Dear madam, what are you doing? You have very nice fruits there." "Yes, yes, I'm trying to sell my fruits. Well, I would like some of your fruits, Krishna says. He says, yes, but you have to have money. And Krishna goes, well, what is money? Your mom will know what money is. Just go get your mom and she'll know what money is. And she says, well, mom's not home. She's at the Jamuna. Okay. Well, and then Krishna says, he said, but my mom never charges me money for fruit. And then he says, and my friends, the gopis, they never charge me money for fruit. They're like my mom. So if you become my mom, you won't have to charge me any money. It's very clever logic that Krishna is trying to benedict this poor lady. So she's going, yes, yes, I know. But so then Krishna says, well, if I just jump in your lap and you can caress my face and you can be like my mom, and then you can give me the fruits for free. And then she goes, no, 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 I can't do that. I am an untouchable. And if someone were to see this go on, I would be in great trouble. And before she even could get those words out of her mouth, Krishna just jumped in her lap. And she goes, oh, what is this? And she begins to feel, and she begins to touch his face, and he's looking into her eyes. And she's feeling all these wonderful, loving emotions. She says, who are you? I am feeling so much happiness in the depth of my heart. Who are you? And she says, so she says, you can have whatever fruit you want. What a bargain. And Krishna says, no, I can pay. I can pay. And she says, he says, I'll be right back. And so he jumps up and he runs. He's going to get some grains. I can give you grains. So he scoops up some grains and he's running back and all the grains are falling out of his hand. And by the time he gets back, there's like 10 little grains in his hand. And she looks, and she's so overwhelmed now with ecstasy that she doesn't even care about the fruit, doesn't care about the grains, doesn't care about anything. She just wants to look at this boy, and who is this boy, you know? So she says, oh, that's a perfect payment. Perfect payment. Just give me those grains and I'll take those grains. So she says, oh, how many fruit do you want? And Krishna says, I want them all. Okay, you can have them all. She wraps them up and she gives them to Krishna. And she puts the little grains, wraps them up and puts them in her basket. And then heads home and she's singing all these wonderful, glorious songs about this little boy and everything and Krishna. So she gets back home and she opens up to get the grains. And she's completely in ecstasy. And she opens up and there's just the grains and everything has just turned to a basket full of jewels. So by this simple loving exchange that Krishna engaged her in, he gave her also material benediction as well as pure devotional service, ecstatic love of Krishna. So this is Krishna. We have to get out of our dull states of mind and we have to understand just how sweet Krishna is. I mean, just so sweet that he's so sweet that you can't even say the word sweet enough times. That is actually how it is. I'll tell another little story. And this is when Krishna leaves to go to the forest with his friends. Mother Yasoda, she follows Krishna. Everyone follows Krishna. When he goes with the cows and he's got his flute and he's walking, every person in Vrindavan has got his eyes fixed on this boy. They can't take their eyes off of him, and tears start flowing from their eyes just looking at him. They can't. They're so much in love with Krishna, you can't even imagine. So Mother Yasoda, being his mother, is extraordinarily attached to such a degree that she can't even turn away from looking at him, even though she knows he'll be right back after the days taking the cows out and having fun with his friends. So at the edge of town, Mother Yasoda is standing there, and Krishna is looking and turning around, saying goodbye, and she rushes up to him, embraces him, holds him to her womb, holds him to her chest, holds him to her heart, and then she arranges his cloth, makes sure he's okay, makes sure he has his food, and then she walks away. And she turns around and she runs back. And she does the same thing again and again and again and again. Tears pouring down her eyes, milk flowing from her breast. Completely unable to turn away from her boy. 10-20 times she'll do this in a row. Go back again and again and try to leave, try to go back to her duties. And she can't. She has to keep running back to Krishna and embrace him. Make sure, and then talk up to the other boys. Make sure he eats today. Make sure he gets some rest. Make all these things. She cannot get her mind away from Krishna for even a moment. And finally, he turns and he gives a gesture that, don't worry, I'll be right back. And all the inhabitants are just of Vrindavan are just standing there crying. This is just every day. This is every day. This goes on. And then at the end of the day, when they have the anticipation of Krishna coming back, then it really gets intense. Because they've just been steeped in separation for how many hours? 6, 8, 10 hours. And Krishna's been out playing with his friends. So they stand all together and they start fixing their eyes on this path. Because they know that this is the path that Krishna is coming back on. And they listen and they're dead silent because they don't want to make a sound. They want to be certain to hear the first sound of the flute coming. And when they start to hear the flute and the cows mooing and the boys laughing, it's like an orchestration of the most ecstatic musical arrangement. The flute playing, it permeates, it stuns them. They stand and they just cry. And they fixing their eyes, they can't even blink. And they see the dust starting to rise. And they know that Krishna is going to emerge from that forest at any moment. And then they see him. And their tears start to flow more and more. And as he gets closer and closer and closer, it's impossible for them to even imagine being without Krishna. They're so happy to see him back again, even for the day. The cowherd boys are the same way. They'd be out playing, and if Krishna hides behind a tree, they start crying. They start crying. They're more worried about losing sight of Krishna than they are of any demon out in the forest. They're more worried about losing sight of Krishna than they are about any dangers that may be out in the forest. This is, we can't even imagine how incredibly beautiful Krishna is. The embodiment of the most beautiful beauty. Beauty personified. I can't even say it. How do you even say it? So extraordinarily beautiful. So when Krishna comes in, he takes his hair and he throws it back like this. Like his curling locks and everything. And when he does, all these movements just create ecstatic experiences for the Vrijvasis. And he's got the dust of the cows in his hair. And he looks so beautiful. So Nanda Maharaj says, and today, instead of taking Krishna to milking the cows, we're just going to take him straight home and we're going to bathe him and we're going to clean him up and we're going to decorate him very beautifully. They cannot wait to get their hands on him. They cannot wait to touch him. It's like every single day, this is the most precious part of the day when Krishna comes back and the gopis get to bathe him and they get to decorate him and Krishna will perform some little pastime in there. For instance, when they're bathing Krishna and they're decorating him, he'll say, and he's smiling at the gopis and it's all these exchanges with his eyes and his face and his smiling. And he's exchanging with the gopis in this way while they're bathing him and dressing him and decorating him. And just to give them more pleasure, he'll say, this is not at all satisfactory. You're going to have to do it again. So, So So Krishna will say, even after they're all done decorating him and everything, and the gopis are standing there smiling at him, they're joking and making different gestures, Krishna says, this is all non-satisfactory. You're going to have to do it all over again. And so they go, okay, we'll do it again. They're very happy to do it all over again. And then when Krishna's face is being bathed by the gopis, sometimes just for a pastime for his mother, he'll make a wincing sound like, This was painful. They're rubbing my cheeks too hard. And Mother Yasoda come running in, and she'll go, is everything all right? What have you done? Why is he wincing like this? You have to take better care. She can't. Every little sound she could hear from the other room. And then somehow or other, it's described that when the gopis put the kajal on Krishna's eyes, they're so close to his eyes when they're doing this service, that he glances at them like this, and they get stunned and they can't continue. They can't continue putting the cudgel on his eyes until he makes a little gesture, and then they wake up and they continue their service. I mean, and then Nanda Maharaj says, okay, bring the boys in for prasadam. And so by this time, the gopis have cooked all these different wonderful things. Mother Yasoda's cooked so many. They just cook and cook. And there's all, like, so many preparations. So many preparations. And Krishna sits down this beautiful golden plate with silver bowls and golden bowls. And he's eating prasadam very nicely. And then finally, Radharani brings her little prep, you know. And so it's a laddu. And so he picks up the laddu and he looks at her, you know. And he goes, he makes a screwy face, you know, and like he was just received this, tasted something very bitter. And Radharani goes, oh, like that, and then of course Chandravali and her group are very happy to see this, because Radharani made something that Krishna didn't like. So this goes on and on, and it's just, and then finally he glances at Radharani and gives her a loving look and everything, so everything is okay. It was all just simply a pastime. And every day, and then when he's tasting prasadam, when he's glancing around the table at everybody, everybody's got their eyes completely fit. They're just like, and sometimes he'll feed his friends. He'll take prasadam off his own plate, and he'll feed his friends, and then his friends will take prasadam off of his plate and feed him every day like this. So that's why we have love. That's why we have the urge to love. We're looking for Krishna. But we're looking for Krishna within each other. Now Krishna is there in each other, but only a small tiny particle. A small tiny particle of Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada has so mercifully given us these beautiful and Krishna has agreed to come in his extraordinarily beautiful forms of Shishi and Radha, Shyamasundar and Shri Krishna Balaram and Shri Gaura Nitai. They have come just to give us this glance, this look, and let us understand that this is where we ultimately have to repose our love. We will not be happy unless we repose our love in Krishna. There is no happiness, there will be no happiness unless we repose every single molecule of love in Krishna. There is no other place. There is no other place that we can give our love that will give us complete and utter total satisfaction. So let's do that. Let's chant Hare Krishna like Prabhupada said. Become purified. Accept the loving glance of Shishri Radha Shyamasundar. Give our love to them, to Krishna and Balaram. And we will begin to feel completely satisfied and happy. And the more that you cut away from this material world, the more that you drop, the more that you realize that you cannot enjoy in this ghastly world of birth and death where every living entity is food for another living entity. Just think about that. We'll go back to that now. Think about how ghastly this place is and how sweet and how wonderful Goloka Vrindavan is. And Krishna has the ability, because he is God, ultimately, that he has the ability to reciprocate with each and every one of us in a completely independent and wonderful way, and give us complete 100% attention without neglecting anyone else. Because that's the reason he created us. That is the reason he created us. He didn't create us to go wandering away. He created us to have a loving exchange with him. So that is the purpose of our human form of life, to regain a relationship with Krishna. Give all of our love to him, every single last molecule, and we will become as happy as a living entity can possibly be in this world or any world. And when that love begins to manifest in the heart, the next thing we want to do, we want to give it out to others, isn't it? We want others to enjoy this wonderful relationship with Krishna also. So that's the next stage. The next stage is, we can't sit tightly. We cannot just sit down and be happy with ourselves. We have to give Krishna to everyone else. This is the example that Srila Prabhupada gave. The most uttama adhikari Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharya personality. We don't know who Srila Prabhupada is, but he did say to a group of devotees one time, to Dhananjaya, "Do not worry, you will recognize me when you get there in the spiritual world." So, but Srila Prabhupada, being on that such an exalted personality, it gave the example how we have to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. So this is the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is distributing pure love of Krishna to everyone and anyone, no qualifications required. Even Jagaya Madai, even Sudras, lower than Sudras, everyone can engage in Krishna consciousness. In Kali Yuga, we're all qualified. In Kali Yuga, we're all qualified. Just remember that. There's no one who's not qualified. Maybe other yugas you could have, you know, there may be some, you have some gradations, some qualifications. But in Kali Yuga, we're all qualified. So, I'll stop there and ask for any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. One day Krishna was walking with his friends, the cowherd boys. It's a quick story. And one of the boys said, "Krishna, I want to get up on your shoulders." And Krishna says, "Not today. I don't feel like it." And the cowherd boy said, "Well, why not?" And Krishna says, "Because I'm God and I don't feel like it." Every once in a while he would say things like this. And so the cowherd boy was undaunted. He said, well, how about tomorrow? This is Krishna. He lets everybody know that he's God even. He says right in the Bhagavad Gita, "I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But Mother Yasoda doesn't care about that. The cowherd boys don't care about that. The gopis don't care about that. They only see Krishna as the most supreme loving object, and they do not want anything to interfere with that. Even the thought that he's God is interference. No questions, no comments. Well, that's pretty good, I guess. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Lord Sri Krishna ki, cowherd boys ki. Radhe Sham ki. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.